Well, in introducing tonight's speaker, having witnessed the severe usage that last night's chairman received, you realize that this wasn't a voluntary undertaking. Seriously, though, it's a huge, huge pleasure for me to introduce my good friend and former colleague on the National Spiritual Assembly of the Republic of Ireland, Adib Taherzadeh. The return visits which he and Leslie make to us here are a special treasured event for all of us, and it's wonderful that he lived with us for so long and wrote for us while he was here and continues to come and to be part of our community. And these are really highlights of our lives, and it's wonderful to have you here again with us, Adib, and to have Leslie with us, and to share your experiences and your thoughts with us, and your own great learning. So may I introduce Adib for what unfortunately is his last session with us, I believe.
Please. I think I have to go up there. Oh, friends. Aloha, our friends. I don't know what to say this evening. Because I had my plans to speak about tests and so forth. But then I changed my mind. And I feel that I would have liked to ask you people this afternoon to start the ball rolling by asking one or two questions and see whether we can make it into a session where we can discuss some things which, if the friends have anything they wanted to bring up. So I think that's how I would begin this session here. So the ball is in your quarters. Who wants to ask? Yes? Any other questions? Yes.
Yeah. And maybe you could talk a little bit about that, about your experience with the person of Georgetown.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'll put all of these things together. This question, that question. Any other questions? Yeah? All right, I will now, without going into tests or so forth now, I wanted to tell you one of the friends told us that an African believer had a dream one night. And he had become a Baha'i, and he understood something about the faith. He knew about the Admiralty of the Order. He knew about the teachings and the covenant. Quite deepened in the faith. And one night he had a dream. And I want to tell you this dream of this man. He dreamt that the world had reached a point that great sufferings were pouring upon the peoples of the world in the form of terrible, terrible dirt which was coming down from the sky, pouring upon the people, falling upon the head of the people, and the bodies of the people were covered with the worst possible dirt that you can think of. And he said people were more or less naked, running around, not knowing what to do with it. And this rain of dirt which was coming on to him was so painful. Not only it was dirty and the whole body was covered with it, thick covered body, but also painful. And people were running here and there everywhere. They did not know where was the shelter. Could not find the shelter. It's a marvelous dream that he had. He then saw a big beautiful building in the distance. And he ran towards it. And as he ran towards it, he saw that the people inside this building were dressed in beautiful clothes, and there was no rain and no problems, no dirt. He just rushed to enter into it. Somebody stopped him and said, "You can't come in this dirty clothes in here. We have to take all this dirt from you. We take you to wash." They washed him completely, gave him a new suit of clothes to wear, and he found himself comfortable inside this building. And he saw everybody was so loving and so nice, and so he himself realized that this was the faith that he had entered. So he said, they said to him, "Now that you have got this new clothes on, you can't stay here. You have to go out into the world. You cannot be in here. You have to go into the world." Well, he said, "If I go into the world again, I will be filled with the same dirt and problems." He said, "We'll give you a raincoat. A very special raincoat which will cover your head, cover your face, cover your body, and when you go outside, it will not affect you." And so they sent him out into the world. And he went along and he joined the people and he saw everybody was crying and so forth, but he felt comfortable, warm and comfortable and clean. They told him, "This raincoat is the administrative order of Baha'u'llah that we give it to you. You put it on yourself, you're safe." And so he went out in this way. And then he saw a lot of people, a few others who were wearing this raincoat, and they were also coming along like him. But then he found a lot of people who had the raincoat, but they had put it on their arms, they were not using it. See? And he woke up in the morning and he interpreted this very clearly, that we have been given a great heritage in Vaishogi Effendi. And perhaps we do not realize the great depth of gratitude that we can never pay back, ever, neither us nor the future generations, to the beloved guardian who built up for us this marvelous system of the administrative order of Baha'u'llah, which is a protection. It's a child of the covenant. Really, this administrative order. The covenant of Baha'u'llah is the heritage that Baha'u'llah has left to us. And Shoghi Effendi applied this covenant to the needs of the faith. And he did not, by the way, invent the administrative order, but he put together all the elements that the faith had, all the elements that Baha'u'llah and Abdul Baha had given to him, he put them together and he said, "Now this is the administrative order of Baha'u'llah, this is the child of this covenant, and that this is the source of our protection." And friends, if we did not have this administrative order of Baha'u'llah, do you know what would have happened today? None of us would be sitting in this room. None of us, the Baha'i community would have completely diffused itself in such a way that it would have completely evaporated. We own this faith of Baha'u'llah to Shoghi Effendi, who built for us this marvelous system of the administrative order of Baha'u'llah. Now, When Abdu'l-Bahá passed away, he wrote his will and testament, and in that will and testament, what did he do? He gave us the blueprint of those institutions which must come into being as a result of this child of the covenant, we call it. But he knew that none of us, none of the Baha'is, were able to just read the will and testament and put it and apply it in their lives. He knew this. It's like an architect who has drawn up a beautiful plan, and then if you give it to you and me, we don't understand what it is. He needed a builder. And so he appointed Shoghi Effendi as the builder of this system that Abdu'l-Bahá had planned, this blueprint that he had brought for us. And Shoghi Effendi, in the beginning of his ministry, you know what he did at the beginning of his ministry, 2 months after the passing of the Master? With great grief that he was living in great suffering, he was suffering from grief of the passing of the Master. He invited a number of prominent Baha'is from all over the world to come and consult with him, to see what can be done now to promote the cause of God after the passing of Abdu'l-Bahá. This was in 1922. Early days of 1922. Now, they came, they consulted, and they said, this is the time to produce the House of Justice. Just now. That was in 1922. Bring the House of Justice into being. And Shoghi Effendi said, no. How can you build the House of Justice now? You haven't got even a proper local spiritual assembly throughout the world. You do not have even in the Baha'i community one community which can say we know what is the basis of consultation. How to consult together, how to create our institutions. And so, as you know, he built up the foundations for us of the spiritual assemblies, local spiritual assemblies. For the first 16 years of his ministry, Shoghi Effendi devoted all his time, first of all, to the believers in the West, and also in the believers in the East. To both of them, he gave the guidance of how to build up these institutions. He told them how they should. The first letter that he wrote, or the second letter that Shoghi Effendi wrote to the Western Baha'is, was a letter about Baha'i consultation. He tells us all the details of how Abdu'l-Bahá has told us how we should consult together in the local spiritual assemblies. How they should elect the members of the local spiritual assembly. How they should elect their national assemblies. What the convention should be like. All the details of the administration of the faith for the first 16 years of his ministry, he devoted his time entirely to that particular plan. This to the Baha'is of the East and to the Baha'is of the West, but particularly to the Baha'is of the West. Here, to the Baha'is of the East, he added another dimension. He said to them, you have to now apply the laws of Baha'u'llah, which is in the Kitab-i-Aqdas, those laws which can be carried out. And therefore he elaborated on the laws of the Kitab-i-Aqdas, gave us so many of guidance to the Baha'is of the East about how to apply these laws. And these are the marvelous treasure house now of information for the future. And the House of Justice often uses these letters of Shoghi Effendi when they are trying to elaborate on and legislate in the future about the application of the laws of Baha'u'llah, something which will come. And shortly I want to give you the glad tidings. Soon the House of Justice is going to give you new laws that now we should now become binding on the friends in the West. It should be coming in a few days' time. No. No, I can't. During these few days, until you receive those laws, you can have a jolly good time. Ha, ha, ha. When now a story comes to my mind. You know, when Baha'u'llah passed away, Abdul Baha was grief-stricken, so much so that for several months you could never see a sign of smile on the face of Abdul Baha. He was filled with that grief which we can never estimate. We cannot understand that, because we do not know the depth of his love for Baha'u'llah, the depth of his attachment to Baha'u'llah. And when Baha'u'llah passed away, his grief knew no bounds. So the believers, after a few months, the believers became worried about this. They really wanted to do something to make him at least smile. A smile. So they got together, and there was one man who had a great sense of humor. And they said, "You must do something to make him laugh." Now, before I tell you this whole story, I must give you some background to it. You know, in the Will and Testament of Baha'u'llah, in the Kitab-e-Ahd, Baha'u'llah says, "We have forgiven the past." Have you ever come across that statement? "We have forgiven the past." The past. So, they found this fellow who was a great sense of humor, and they sent him to Abdul Baha. And he went in very sheepishly inside, and the way he acted, Abdul Baha knew that he's having a mischief on in his eyes. He's going to say something very mischievous, you know. So Abdul Baha said, "What do you want?" He said, he put his hand in his pocket and he brought a piece of paper out. And he said, "You know, we believe in Baha'u'llah. And we believe that your words has got the same validity as the words of Baha'u'llah. The same validity, the same quality. We obey him and we obey you." He said, "Your father has written in his will and testament, 'We have forgiven the past. Will you just write a letter in here, say, we forgive the future?" So that we can have a jolly good time. In Persian, he said, "Khargalti bezanim." In Persian. Now, I was just going to tell you, you have a jolly good time. Now, I'm going back to the story of Shoghi Effendi. I was mentioning that what he did. And by the way, I have no idea I'm going to talk about Shoghi Effendi. Now, it's just beginning to start. This is interesting. You know that he started to help us to build up our institutions in those first 16 years. And I must tell you that in those days, there were no spiritual assemblies proper, which were functioning properly at the time that Shoghi Effendi became the guardian of the cause. The first spiritual assembly was established by Abdul Baha during his ministry. Soon after the passing of Baha'u'llah, a spiritual assembly of the Baha'is of Tehran. And that spiritual assembly was not elected. It was appointed by the hands of the cause. The hands of the cause, four hands of the cause, appointed a number of people, about 12 or 13 people, and themselves four hands added to them. They made a large assembly of the spiritual assembly. And the hands became the secretary and the chairman of the spiritual assembly. And at first, the hands gave to themselves to cast two votes even. And Abdul Baha said to them, "Now, all right, you've done it, but don't continue with this." He said, in the future, he said, kings will become members of houses of justice. And they will then arrogate to themselves the more rights. Everyone should have one vote. And so the spiritual assembly was in that way created, which was not really proper as we do it nowadays. It was Shoghi Effendi who laid down the foundations of how we should elect the local spiritual assembly and when to elect the local spiritual assembly. And then he also knew that several things which he did were not really his function. Because the function of the guardian was that of interpretation, not that of legislation. And so he made those decisions that he took conditional upon the future House of Justice to approve it. So this is how he had to do it, though. He had to arrange the 21st of April to become the day on which the local assemblies are elected. He told us all the details of it in the first 16 years of his ministry. Now, in those days of the early days of the faith, during 1921 to 1936, 37, and even afterwards, I can tell you that in all over the world, the Baha'is, in their consciousness, they were acting locally. The consciousness of the Baha'is was not national or international. You were living in a town, you were teaching the faith in that town, you were dealing with the first of the cause in this town, if you had the spiritual assembly, that was also for that town. The consciousness of the friends did not rise above the national to the national level. Everybody was concerned with his own little community. And there was very little communication. There was very little communication between one community, local community, and another local community. There was very little communication in that way. So the consciousness of the Baha'is was that way. Now, it wasn't until 1937 that, as you know, Shoghi Effendi gave to the American Baha'is the task of building up more spiritual assemblies in the United States and gave him other extra points of the plan. Now, I'm not going to tell you all the details of the plan, but I just want to give you the strategy that Shoghi Effendi used in the building up of the administrative order of Baha'u'llah. And the strategy was like this. You have a child, you know, parents, remember, when your child is not able to stand on his feet, you can't do much about him. But the minute he stands on his feet, you encourage him to take a step forward. And then this encouragement leads him to do the second step. And then he falls. You hold him up. You don't rebuke him. You don't hit him. You don't say, you have failed me. You just encourage him. And he goes step by step by step until he goes from one end of the room to the other. This is exactly what Shoghi Effendi did with the American Baha'i community. He saw that the community now had reached after 16 years of education in the administrative order of Baha'u'llah, the building of the local assemblies and the national assembly and the convention and all the relationships. He then knew now is the time to give that body, that child now is standing on his feet, give him a plan, let him go from one end to the other. And so he gave him this plan. And in this plan he left for us a legacy, a marvelous legacy, which we are going to continue operating on this legacy till the end of this dispensation, I believe. And it is this. He taught us that you are a single Baha'i, you go and pioneer to a town. Pioneer. Leave your home. Leave your job. Go to another city. Stay there. Why? Teach the cause. Make a local spiritual assembly. That is the one thing you do. One believer makes a local spiritual assembly eventually. Then he said, this is one thing that he gave it to us. And you see, this is the practice we are continuing now, all the time. A pioneer goes to a place, he teaches the faith, he forms a local spiritual assembly. Then he gave us another point. He said he wanted one soul to go to the Latin American countries. One person, can you imagine? In those days, if you were a Baha'i and you would hear, the Shoghi Effendi has said that one person should go to, say, Brazil. One person should go to Argentina. What is this all about? Can you imagine the faith of Baha'u'llah with one person coming, one pioneer? And what was the job of that pioneer? Was to teach the faith and form the first local spiritual assembly in that town. Can you see? It's that like a farmer who plants a seed. Today, because of that one person who went to Brazil and one person who went to all the Latin American countries, we have national assemblies, we have marvelous communities there. You see now how Shoghi Effendi taught us the lesson of how you can promote the cause of God and try to establish it and expand it. So he did this work for us during this period. And this started in 1937, in the first 7-year plan of the American Baha'i. This became a model for the rest of the world. And so in 1944, when this plan was over, I remember we were in Persia. And we then heard after 7 years, it must be some Baha'is in Tehran who knew about this, but the rank and file of the believers, myself included, did not know that the Americans had a plan, a 7-year plan, because there was no communication in those days. Only when it was finished in 1944, and Shoghi Effendi announced it to us, that what had happened in the United States, that this plan has been achieved and completed, that we had, what is the plan? It was quite a surprising thing for us. The plan. What is the plan? Took a long time for us to understand. Later on, when I came to England, I realized that the British Baha'is in 1944, and now David is one person who was present and did one of the major influence in this thing, was that the British Baha'is wrote to Shoghi Effendi or sent to Shoghi Effendi a cable and said, could we also have a plan? And so Shoghi Effendi said, yes, a 6-year plan. And so the other national assemblies in the 1940s began to have different plans. And these plans were aimed, what was the plan like? The plan was that in a country, in a certain area, not all over the world, but in your own country, you were to increase the number of your local spiritual assemblies. Pioneers will have to move from place to place to place. And this is how we saw the faith now, right, the consciousness of the Baha'is during the 1940s up to 1953 rose up from the level of local interest into national interest. We began to be interested in the plan. What is happening in that local assembly? What is happening in that town there? What is happening in this town? So the consciousness of the friends was raised one level higher. But there still was not international. The international plan came when Shoghi Effendi launched the 10-year crusade. First the Africa plan, which I don't want to go into stories of plans, but I just want to tell you this. When the 10-year crusade was launched by Shoghi Effendi, which meant that now the pioneers had to crisscross from left to right, from east to west, all over the world, and he wanted to open up 130 new countries in the world and islands. And I remember myself that we thought, well, we have 10 years, we'll wait for it, 10 years, no problem. Shoghi Effendi sent a cable, he said, these 130 countries should be won in the first year of the plan. Of course, in other words, he said, put the seeds down now. We can't leave the seed 10 years later. Now you must put the seed. And that was the marvelous uprising of the friends from east and the west. And the people gave up their homes, gave up their jobs, gave up their families. They sold their properties, they moved from east to west to the most inhospitable parts of the world, and they settled in those places, and Shoghi Effendi conferred upon many of them the status and the title of the Knight of Baha'u'llah. Now you see how he brought about this marvelous expansion of the faith in 1 year. And then he said, now consolidate it. Now that you have got opened up these virgin territories, consolidate them. Which means you should have local assemblies now. First there was one pioneer going to a country, to an island. Now consolidate them, create local assemblies, create more local assemblies, create eventually national assemblies. So you see, friends, this is how the beloved guardian built for us the foundations of the administrative order of Baha'u'llah. He gave to us this marvelous system, our local assemblies, our national assemblies, and today, of course, the international institutions of the faith, as a result, not of his own thinking, but as a result of the application of those very principles and teachings and laws which Baha'u'llah and Abdu'l-Bahá had given to us, and which Abdu'l-Bahá had actually formulated them in the Will and Testament. That's why Shoghi Effendi says that the Will and Testament of Abdu'l-Bahá is a complementary to the Kitab-e-Aqdas. He says that Baha'u'llah had left some gaps, especially some gaps in his laws and his teachings, to enable Abdu'l-Bahá to create the necessary institutions for the development of the world order of Baha'u'llah. As you know, the Will and Testament of Abdu'l-Bahá is a very important document that every Baha'i really should read and understand. Not until you read it can, if you want to be steadfast in the covenant and you're talking of the covenant, you should read the Will and Testament of Abdu'l-Bahá. This Will and Testament, as Shoghi Effendi has said, is the child of the covenant. He gives the analogy in his writings. He says that he here portrays the Baha'u'llah as a mystical intercourse between the person of Baha'u'llah, I'm paraphrasing it for you, and Abdu'l-Bahá as the mother, and Baha'u'llah here acting as the father. As a result of this mystical intercourse between the person of Baha'u'llah and Abdu'l-Bahá, a child was born, and that is the Will and Testament. The Will and Testament of Abdu'l-Bahá is a document from which we are now utilizing all the forces, life-giving forces of the cause of God. It is derived from this Will and Testament of Abdu'l-Bahá. And therefore we should study it and understand it. Now, I was saying to you that what Shoghi Effendi has created, this marvelous system of Baha'i institutions, the local assemblies, the national assemblies, and the international institutions of the faith now, the House of Justice also. But one thing we must remember, these institutions today, the administrative order of Baha'u'llah, which is the nucleus of the future world order, is in its embryonic state, really. It is not yet emerged like a child which will be born. When a child emerges from the womb of the mother, it enters into a new state of life. But now our institutions are in that form of they are embryonic. And Shoghi Effendi has mentioned this several times in his writings. In one of his letters written 60 or some years back, you know what he says? He says that the administrative order of Baha'u'llah, I'm paraphrasing his words again, is now stirring within the womb of a travailing age. You see now, he describes the administrative order of Baha'u'llah stirring like a child which stirs in the womb of the mother. He says the administrative order of Baha'u'llah is stirring in the womb of a travailing age. And in many other writings he describes this state of embryonic status of the institutions of the faith. Now, the embryonic institutions that we have are local assemblies and national assemblies. They are not yet really born. But even if we can, because we work with them, supposing now, let us think of our local spiritual assembly not as an infant in the womb of the mother, think of him as a little child. It's not more than a little child. When you're dealing with a child, you have to understand its shortcomings. You must recognize that this child is not perfect. It cannot be perfect. It's not mature yet. It's going to make a lot of mistakes. A child comes into the room, he breaks up things, he destroys things around. But the parents are not worried about this, because they know in the future he's not going to do it. When he grows up, he's going to behave properly. Let us hope so anyhow. This is what it is. Our institutions are like infants today. And this is the problem that the Baha'i world has. That they look upon their local assemblies as perfect bodies. They expect them to do perfection. They can't do it. They're going to make a lot of mistakes. It's like a child. You cannot expect of a child to act like an adult. Now, I'm not referring to members of the institutions. Remember, you may have, and we have, many marvelous Baha'is, beautiful Baha'is, mature Baha'is, who are members of the local and national assemblies. Marvelous people. But the institution is an infant, is embryonic, shall we say. The institution. And this is why Shoghi Effendi did the same thing as the House of Justice, now doing exactly the same thing. When they receive the reports from the national assemblies, minutes of the National Assemblies, reports of the National Assemblies, David will confirm this. You come across so many things they have done which makes your hair stand at its end. Really and truly. You say, gosh, what are they doing? The disunities, the difficulties, the wrong things. What would you do? Now it's like you have a child here. Are you going to hit him right, left and center as soon as he does something wrong? Or are you going to leave him? Leave him. Has to grow out of it. And therefore you come across 20 things they have done which is wrong. One of them probably is serious. It's like a child going to burn himself. You have to stop him. You see? The rest is left alone. Nobody goes and talks. The house does not go along after them. They encourage them. They do all sorts of things. Encouragement. Goes on. Encouragement. Encouragement. So you receive a lot of encouraging letters from time to time. This has been the policy of the House of Justice and the Guardian before. Why? If there was one National Assembly in the world which was perfect, there would be something wrong with it. Definitely. Definitely there is something wrong with it. Of course. Because what would you like a child of 3 years to act like an adult? First of all, it's very ugly. Isn't it? And secondly, it cannot do it. It's going to make a mess of things. That's why I'm saying that we must be patient with our institutions. We must understand them in that light, that they are embryonic institutions. We must be patient with them. We must be loving with them. We must cherish them, knowing these are divine institutions of Baha'u'llah, and that we as individuals will have to suffer many injustices. Yes, I know you take your problem to the local assembly, and gosh, they make a decision which is not right, and yet you have to obey them. You have to bear that injustice so that in the future these local assemblies will not make these mistakes. But we have to cherish them and love them and look upon them in that way. So you come across all over the Baha'i world weak institutions. Weak. Embryonic institutions. Okay? This is the problem. If you expect these local assemblies to be perfect, then you will find it difficult to live in that community. But if you look at it as a body which... But I'm not saying that this is not should be a license, by the way. This should not be a license for the members of the assemblies to say, oh, well, now that we are a child and a childish NSA, let us have a jolly good time again. No. You have to still do the right things. A child is not perfect, but it has to be healthy. Health is very important. Spiritual health. It's very important for the members of the spiritual assemblies to be spiritually healthy. We don't have to necessarily be doctors and professors. You are, if you are, very welcome. But you are to find out spiritual people who are really doing their best in a healthy way, and they are living their life in accordance with the teachings of Baha'u'llah. So you see, friends, this is our challenge again. One of the challenges is to recognize the fact that our institutions are embryonic. Now, I want to also go a little further here. Shoghi Effendi, remember I was mentioning to you that Shoghi Effendi has said that the administrative order of Baha'u'llah is now stirring in the womb of this world. And in other words, the human society is really pregnant, you might say, with the institutions of the faith, with Baha'u'llah's administrative order, with the... I'm not going to say the story of the egg again for you, because some of you have heard the story of the egg. I'm not saying how it is that how today the faith of Baha'u'llah is now still in the form of infancy. And a day must come that these institutions which are embryonic should be born. After all, it's in law of nature. You cannot always have a child in the womb of the mother. It must come out eventually and emerge into the world. So a day will come that these institutions which are now embryonic will evolve It's a question of evolution. Evolution means from one stage of an organic growth. If you look at an organic growth, when it's an evolution takes place, you'll find that, for instance, a seed becomes a little plant. This is a stage of evolution. Now, the local assemblies and the national assemblies and the institutions today are like this, embryonic. And now one day they have to be born. Now when they are born, you must not think they are going to run the whole world, becoming the world order of Baha'u'llah will have to come in the future, in centuries to come probably. But it is just a stage that a child has no longer is embryonic, it's come out and it shows itself to the world. And that is when the nations of the world will take notice of us, when that happens, when that birth takes place. They'll take notice of us, and they will see the strength and the power of the faith, and also probably that's the time that the opposition will start also. In the Shoghi Effendi and Abdul Baha have talked about very severe oppositions which will come to us. So you see, we have to look for a time that this birth will take place, in other words. And the administrative order of Baha'u'llah, these institutions, are born. So we may ask ourselves when that will be. When is it that these institutions are going to be born? When is it? Is it now? Is it future? Is it long future? Is it short? Well, these are all my understanding, by the way. It has nothing to do with the House of Justice. Now, I don't want you to go and say these are the views of the House of Justice. This is my own understanding of the thing. You know that you learn a lesson from nature. You want to know when these institutions are going to be born and no longer embryonic and show themselves to the world and emerge? Look at nature. Ask a mother who is pregnant. Say to her, when your child is going to be born? What time? What date? What is the date that your child is going to be born? What will she say to you? She'll say, when all the limbs and organs of my child is made, completed, it will emerge. It's no more staying there. When all the limbs and organs are completed. So now we look at our administrative order, which is embryonic, in the womb of this world, and we look at it to see whether these things are ready or not. Whether what has to be made, the limbs and organs of the administrative order, the organs of the administrative order, whether they are made or they are not made. Well, we first begin with the local spiritual assemblies. And we say, yes, it is made. All over the world we have local spiritual assemblies. All over the world. It's made. Of course they are weak. They have to be weak. You don't expect the child in the womb of the mother to have a big hand to be able to lift up a weight for you. All you need is a tiny little limb. A tiny little hand. That's all you need. And that is already made. The local assemblies all over the world. Right. We go to the next stage, the national spiritual assemblies. They are made all over the world. We have over 180 of them now. Yes, they are again weak. Yes, they are weak. But we don't expect them to run, to use their legs to run, for instance. No, we just want a little limb. That's all we need. They are made. All right, so that's the national level. We have, of course, the councillors today and the institution of the auxiliary board members also, which are part of the institutions of the faith. They are also made. They are here. We come to the international institutions of the faith. We see the House of Justice is created. We see the International Teaching Center is working now. All the international institutions are working. So, local, national, international, they are made. So what are we waiting for? One thing is not made yet. And not until that one thing comes into being. Can this administrative order of Baha'u'llah be said to be complete? And I am looking, not my own words, but looking to the words of Shoghi Effendi. I'm going to refer you to the words of Shoghi Effendi. We often think the administrative order is finished. completed. There is a local assembly, there are national assemblies, the pillars, so to speak. There is the dome, which is the house of justice. We say it's complete. But Shoghi Effendi does not say that. What does he say? In his book, you should refer, those of you who read books, in the Messages to the Baha'i World, page 73. Shoghi Effendi makes this statement. What I'm going to say to you is almost his words. He says about the building of the World Administrative Center of the Faith, which is now being built on Mount Carmel. We call it the Ark Buildings. This is the seat of the international institutions of the faith. Shoghi Effendi said, when these are completed, we will reach a stage, we will have reached a stage in the culmination, you see, he has used the word culmination. It's a very important word. Do you know what culmination means? Culmination in the development of the administrative order. Culmination in the development of the administrative order. In other words,